You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are a couple of other podcasts that we think you should try.
Hi, this is Pernilla from the True Crime Sweden podcast. If you thought Sweden was all about IKEA and Swedish meatballs, you are in for a big surprise. We do have our fair share of crimes in Sweden too, and I'm here to tell you all about them. I bring up all sorts of true crime cases, and by listening, you get to learn a little bit about how the legal system works in another country. For example, I did an episode about the case that created the Stockholm Syndrome. You've probably heard about the Stockholm Syndrome, but do you know the case behind it? Well, besides talking about true crime, I end each episode with a little fun fact about Sweden, something that is really appreciated by my listeners. And maybe I should add that my podcast is, of course, in English. If you think this sounds interesting, give it a try by searching for True Crime Sweden on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast at. I hope to see you.
Hello, this is False Starts Podcast.
And we talk about those films that set themselves up for a sequel that never came.
Here's an episode condensed into 60 seconds. Please to be enjoy. What's our poisons then?
You get what you're given.
That's some foul stuff.
Does this film confirm the existence of God?
Dum 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 dum.
Such a look of confusion on my face.
Yeah, can we do a quick mini review of 4DX? It was so uncomfortable. I had to go sit on the stairs because it was just more enjoyable.
And he looks at the naked lady in front of him. And immediately, 150 pressurized egg whites shoots all over him.
Come on, egg white.
But what was the point in even including it?
To calm his nerves.
But we just don't placebos. Need him to calm his...
Why he not did. Have...
Yes, we
he
did.
Why not
just have
shoot
him up in heaven?
Be calm. Just cut the scene. The film is 2 hours long. Just cut the scene.
No. So this was a manic time.
Yes. This wasn't that. This is a bit. This is insanity. What happened to us?
I guess we'll wrap things up. You can find us wherever you find your podcasts.
Just type "Full Starts Pod" in. Full Starts Pod in.
The best kind of pudding.
Fresh and defecated.
That's pretty much how the shows go. We just use that.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you, as fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your host.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to episode 21 of the Forgotten News Podcast.
My name is Jim.
My name is Kate Karen.
And we host the podcast.
Thank you for listening.
And yes, we want to thank all of you for listening.
We especially want to thank you. In light of the fact that we have fallen a little behind schedule in getting new episodes released, unfortunately, we have recently had a few unexpected problems entirely beyond our control. But we apologize for that nevertheless. We sincerely promise to get back on track as far as releasing new episodes on a regular basis. hopefully starting with this one. We definitely want to be more consistent anyway. Considering that we've recently exceeded over 18,000 total downloads, and also because we have some terrific stories lined up and ready to tell during the remaining 8 months of this season of the podcast, along with some really awesome guest voices, most of whom have never previously appeared on the show. So we are pumped. However, please keep in mind, as I once said on a previous episode, this is not exactly NPR. So there might occasionally be a few bumps in the road. And of course, we apologize in advance for that.
Kit didn't mention a much more recent bump in the road. I don't think she wanted me to mention this, but Kit has been sick with a bad cold for about a week or so and wasn't able to record. So at first, I was going to look for someone to be a guest co-host because obviously I had no idea how long she was going to be sick. But the other day, she told me she was feeling better and would be able to record, even though she is still sick. So I just wanted all of our listeners out there to be aware that Kit is being a real trooper for participating in this episode. Hey, Kit, just so our listeners know that we aren't kidding about you being sick, maybe I should keep all of your coughs and sniffles in the audio instead of editing them out. Okay, let's just move along.
Definitely.
Well, anyway, since our regular listeners have already waited long enough for this episode, let's just go straight to our featured story.
Yes.
I'm going to start by saying I found this story completely by accident while researching a totally different topic. The story really speaks for itself, so I will introduce it like this. Kit once described our podcast as telling the stories of the footnote people from history, but more often, the people who didn't make it into the footnotes. Well, our featured story on this episode is a perfect example of that. However, listeners, please be aware it is a true crime story. And even though it took place over 130 years ago, we will, as usual, begin with a very short advisory for listeners so that nobody is caught off guard. And so at this point, Kit will give you that advisory.
Warning. This episode will feature the tragic story of the unprovoked murder of a young woman, an Irish immigrant, by gunshot in 1884. The story will be told entirely as it was reported at the time. But if you think that hearing about this incident could possibly cause you to have a negative emotional reaction, then this episode might not be something you should listen to. In addition, the story that is being featured is definitely not recommended for children, since it could be upsetting or even frightening to young ears. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
I'm going to add two quick things before we launch into our featured story. First, just in case anyone is wondering, this episode will include our popular news segment, Police Blotter and Court News, after the end of our story. And we will have a separate warning right before the beginning of that segment. The second thing that I am going to mention is that the featured story, which you will be hearing in just a moment, will be told by a guest narrator. So listen closely and see if you can guess who it is. I will give you a hint. It is a podcaster with a very popular show. But if you can't figure it out, don't worry. We will reveal the name of the narrator directly after the story.
And now, With all of that having been said, on with the show. Our story begins on a cold winter evening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, many years ago. And here it is, exactly as reported in the news at the time.
The Pittsburgh Dispatch, February 5th, 1884. The headline reads, Faithful to a Monster. The superhuman efforts of an Irish girl to conceal her murderer. Kate McDonnell, 26 years of age, a nursemaid for Miss Meyer Heck of 313 East 57th Street, had a lover, Dennis Hennelly, whom she discarded because her brothers did not want her to marry him. At 10 o'clock last night, as she was hurrying home from a visit to her uncle, Dennis stopped her when she was near her boarding house. He was half drunk and spoke roughly, catching hold of her. She begged him not to detain her. But instead, over and over again, he asked, "When are you going to marry me?" She told him that she would not marry him. He walked to the steps of the house, and as she tried to pull away from him, he put the muzzle of a big pistol against her left side and fired. She didn't fall, but steadied herself by the railings. The drunken man then asked, "Will you marry me now?" She said she would, and then added, "You must hurry away now, Dennis, or you'll be arrested." He let her go, and then she went up and rang the bell. The janitor opened the door and said, "Oh, is that you, Katie? Did you hear a pistol shot?" The girl said no, and slowly made her way up the stairs. She fell on the landing, but got up and went to Mrs. Heck and asked, "Has the baby been good?" Mrs. Heck nodded and gave Katie the baby. She wished Mrs. Heck a good night and carried it to her own room as usual. But in the morning, Katie did not come down. Mrs. Heck found her lying on the bed, which was drenched with her blood. She whispered to Mrs. Heck that she had been shot by accident and that she wanted a priest. Both a priest and a physician were sent for. A frightful wound from a bullet was found in Katie's left breast, and the doctor said that she would die. Yet it was only after the priest urged her that she told who fired the shot. Detectives found Dennis in a saloon throwing dice for drinks. He said, "I know what you want me for." He was taken in Katie's bedside. She blushed and whispered, "That is Dennis Hennelly. He shot me because I would not marry him. My brothers did not want me to marry him." Hennelly is a low, broad, dull-looking man of 26. He says he came from County Mayo, Ireland, to this country with Katie and her brothers. It appears that twice during the night, she arose from bed to give water to the fretful child, fearing it would awaken the family. The bullet had went just over her heart, through her left lung.
And that is the end of our story. Oh, that poor girl. What a heartbreaking story.
It was very sad. I really don't know what to say. I will mention, I tried finding more information, but I basically came up dry. For example, searching on Google, the only other details that I was able to find were that Dennis Hennelly, the killer, was a sailor, and that he had a reputation as being, quote, rough, unquote, which I assume meant that he was a bit of a bully. But I was not able to learn anything that happened after he was caught by the police. Other than that, I only found articles from other newspapers that were essentially the same as the story in the Pittsburgh newspaper. So we are kind of left hanging as to the rest of the story. However, if any of our listeners are able to find that information through any source that you might have access to, we guarantee 100% that we will pass it along to our listeners on a future episode.
However, before we move on, we definitely want to give an enormous thanks to our lovely narrator on the featured story. So take a bow and tell our listeners all about yourself.
This is Sinead, genuine Irish person and law nerd, and host of Mens Rea, a true crime podcast.
Thank you, Sinead.
We can't say enough good things about the narration.
This was so excellent. It was far beyond anything we expected.
Oh my gosh, it was almost like watching the story unfold in real time.
It's just brilliant.
It was spoken in such a careful and crisp and sensitive voice. She had me mesmerized.
Practically a movie inside your head. Thank you so much.
And now, listeners, we will move on to the latest edition of our ongoing and very popular segment, Police Blotter and Court News, in which we bring the stories of small-time crooks and other random folks who, for one reason or another, ended up in the teeth of the justice system a century or more ago. And this particular Police Blotter segment will be narrated for you exactly as it was written in a column published on January 5th, 1864, in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Now, usually these columns describe multiple incidents of minor crimes, the persons who allegedly committed them, and the fine or other punishment that was imposed by the judge. But this column is different. It tells the story of the trial of one man accused of a petty theft. The column is basically a transcript of the trial. And as usual, before we begin, we will give you a warning. This is the story of an alleged theft and the resulting trial. There are a lot of unpleasant people in the story, and the justice system is portrayed in a rather disreputable light, definitely bordering on mockery. So if you think that hearing about any of these things could possibly cause you to have a negative emotional reaction, then perhaps this segment might not be something you should listen to. So just skip ahead, roughly 7 or 8 minutes from now. And as far as children listening, we will just say, parental discretion is advised. Now, at this point, we will absolutely guarantee you that this column is 100% real. But as for the story within the column, we will leave that up to you. And depending on your sense of humor, we would like you to think of this particular police blotter segment as a kind of palate cleanser, following our deeply tragic featured story.
Well, I want to mention one quick thing before we start the police blotter column. Listeners, because this column is written more or less as a transcript, we decided to present this as kind of an audio drama. So you may recognize some voices of some of your favorite podcasters. Maybe you can guess who they are. We will give you their names after the segment. So enjoy.
And with all of that having been said, here we go.
Police Blotter and Court News.
Although the law is dished up at the municipal court on a daily basis, in the most approved and proper manner, the cases which are heard are not always of the heavy type. For example, we will describe a scene which took place yesterday morning. Cleveland Municipal Court, January 4th, 1864. The courtroom is packed with men and women. Nearly all of them are wretched, shady, or disreputable persons accused of various crimes and waiting for their cases to be heard. The judge is sitting at his desk, pen in hand, with his spectacles resting upon his nose and appearing wise. The prosecuting attorney, or rather his assistant, is sorting through his papers and preparing his arguments for the cases that are on the docket. He is a rather knowledgeable-looking young chap, tall, with a pleasant appearance. The prisoner, Mr. Swipes, is a middle-aged man. He is unkempt and uncombed. His clothes are old and tattered. He is charged with stealing a tin cup from the peanut stand of an old woman. The cup is valued at 2 cents. The defendant's attorney is an elderly gentleman. He has a look of anxiety upon his face. So much, in fact, that a casual observer would suppose that the entire future of the nation depended upon him. He is seated next to the prisoner. The court is called to order. The case is announced by the bailiff. The witnesses are sworn, and the trial is commenced. The first witness is Mr. Jones. He is being questioned by the prosecuting attorney.
You may state what you know in regard to this matter.
Well, I was coming downtown yesterday when I got near Miss Pengalek's peanut stand, and I heard her telling Mr. Swipes that he'd stole her tin cup. Mr. Swipes said she was a good-for-nothing old liar and that if she said 2 more words, he would knock her old peanut stand into 10,000 splinters.
Hey, I didn't say any such thing. I said that...
Be quiet, you old fool. Keep still.
Did you see whether or not Mr. Swipes had any cup in his possession?
Well, yes, I saw him handling the cup.
What was the character of the cup?
Well, I don't know. It was a cup.
I know it was a cup, but what kind of cup? Can you explain?
It was a bright cup, either a silver cup or a pewter cup or a tin cup.
Can't you tell what kind of a cup it was?
No, not exactly.
What kind of a cup do you think it was?
I think it was a tin cup.
What would you value the cup at?
I can't exactly tell what the cup was worth. I ain't in the tin business. I'm in the butchering business. If I was in the tin cup business, very likely I could tell you. But as I'm in the butchering business and not in the tin cup business, I can't exactly tell you.
What do you conjecture was the value of the cup?
It may have been a cent, it may have been 2 cents, and it may have been 3 cents, but I hardly think it was worth more than a cent and a half.
Did you see Mr. Swipes take the cup?
Yes, I saw him take it full of peanuts and empty them into his pockets.
Did you see Mr. Swipes put the cup back?
No, I can't say I did.
That will do.
Mr. Swipes and his lawyer whisper together for a moment, after which the witness is cross-examined.
You say you didn't see Mr. Swipes return the cup?
Yes, that's what I said, I believe.
Didn't you hear Mr. Swipes say this? There, Mrs. Pilgarlic, I'm done with your cup. Take it.
No, I didn't hear him say any such thing.
You say Mr. Swipes called Mrs. Pilgarlic a good-for-nothing old liar. Now, didn't Mrs. Pilgarlic commence by calling Mr. Swipes a mean, obscene skunk, and by saying that he wasn't fit to buy peanuts at her stand, and that if business wasn't so damn slow, that she wouldn't do any kind of trade with him?
Well, I can't exactly remember. I believe she said something about the business being damn dull, but I don't exactly remember her saying the rest you speak of.
You think it was a tin cup?
Aye.
Well, now, can you say whether there was any rust on the handle or not?
There was something yellowish-like on the handle. I can't say certain whether it was rust or tobacco juice. Mr. Swipe chews tobacco, and he might have let fly and hit the handle of the cup for all I know.
Then you can't say for certain whether it was rust or not?
No.
Well, what do you think it was?
I think it was either tobacco juice, rust, or some other yellowish stuff.
That's all, Mr. Jones. But now, Your Honor, I would like to have Mr. Smasher sworn as a witness in order to ask him one question.
Mr. Smasher, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, Mr. Smasher, how long have you known Mr. Swipes?
Which Mr. Swipes do you mean? There are probably 10,000 men named Swipes in this country.
Why, this man here by my right hand, the defendant.
I have known him now going on 50 years.
What is his character for honesty?
I don't want to say anything against Mr. Swipes, but my opinion is that his character for honesty is so damn far below par that I would describe it as, spurious.
Do you think Mr. Swipes is so depraved that he would steal a tin cup from an old woman?
I can't say for certain as to that, but I think he would steal a tin cup or any other kind of cup from anybody if it had whiskey in it. I don't know what his taste for peanuts is.
Your Honor, I would like to have the first witness called back for one additional question.
Mr. Jones, please return to the witness stand.
Can you say whether that cup on the table over there is the one that is alleged to be stolen by Mr. Swipes?
It looks very much like 500 or 600 other tin cups I've seen. It may be the cup he stole, or it may not be the stolen cup. I can't say for certain.
That is sufficient. No more witnesses need be called for. We will rest the case right here.
The prosecution is willing to rest too, Your Honor.
At this point, the judge announces a recess of 30 minutes and declares that he will give his decision immediately thereafter.
This court is now back in session. Now, in regard to the case of the defendant, Mr. Swipes, I have listened to the testimony and I have reviewed the evidence. In addition, I have also looked at all the relevant portions of the laws of the state of Ohio and also the ordinances of the city of Cleveland, as well as the pertinent portions of the commentaries of Blackstone and other scholars in regard to the larceny of property to the extent that it applies to this case. And my ruling is, the defendant is hereby found guilty and is ordered to pay a fine of 50 cents and court costs. Next case.
The court then moved on to matters of equally heavy importance.
And that brings us to the end of the police blotter and court news of January 5th, 1864.
Well, it definitely was not a typical police blotter column, that's for sure.
You may already know that at the time that this column was published, the American Civil War was raging. So perhaps the writer of the column was hoping that it would bring a smile to readers at a time that our nation was torn and divided. We hope that this story has also brought a smile to you, our listeners, in the present day. It definitely gave one to us. Or else, we wouldn't have shared it with you.
Well, as far as humor, I will mention one thing. At that point in time, and really the entire 19th century, these police blotter columns were almost always anonymous. But in the 1860s, one of the reporters for the Plain Dealer was a man named Charles Farrar Brown, who later became famous as a writer of very funny short stories under the alias Artemus Ward. I wouldn't be surprised to learn that he was the author of this particular column. I have no way to know that for sure, but, I mean, it is funny. A little over the top, but funny.
We would like to thank everyone who participated as guest voices on this police blotter and court news segment. So take a bow and tell our listeners a little about yourselves.
Nina Instead,
the writer, producer, and voice behind the Already Gone podcast.
Robin Warder of The Trail Went Cold.
Barney Black, co-host of the Bloody Murder podcast.
Pete Lutz of the Narada Radio Company and 63 Audio. Find us at naradaradio.libsyn.com.
Sam Culper of Breakers Podcast.
Steve Blizzen and the Drift and Ramble Podcast.
Austin Beach of Audio Oblivious Productions.
We would now like to thank you, all of our listeners, for tuning in. And we would also like to give a final thanks to all of the guest voices on this episode.
Yes, many, many thanks to everyone.
And by the way, listeners, we would very much like to be able to tell police blotter stories from the 19th century newspapers of your city or town. So if you have the time and ability, just send it to us by email, and we promise to use it as soon as we can. The address is forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com.
And now, listeners, if you are a fan of this podcast, we would truly appreciate if you would please take a moment of your time and go to iTunes, also known as Apple Podcasts, and then rate, review, and subscribe to the Forgotten News Podcast. Thanks in advance for doing that.
We'd prefer a 5-star review, by the way.
It really helps us to get more listeners, more exposure, and to move up in the charts.
So, thanks in advance for your ratings and reviews.
And, as always, listeners, we would love to hear your comments, opinions, ideas, thoughts, and anything else that you might like to say in regard to this episode, or any past episode, or about the show in general. So, with that in mind,
our email address is forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to type that as all one word. There are no hyphens, dashes, or underscores. You can also find the Forgotten News Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. Just type Forgotten News Podcast as 3 words into the search box, and you can find us. It's very easy.
But on Twitter, our handle is @newsforgotten, not forgotten news.
If any of our listeners would like to follow or contact me on Twitter, my handle is @KitCaren, spelled KitCaren, as if it were all one big word.
So, long story short, please feel free to use any of those methods to interact with us.
We will, as usual, thank Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com for the music used on this episode.
And freesound.org for the sound effects.
We've included specific credits in the show notes, which you can find on our website, www.forgottennewspodcast.podbean.com, or just go to Google and simply type Forgotten News Podcast Podbean. It'll take you right there.
I think that is pretty much everything for this episode in regard to the podcast.
So, with that being said,
goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
And remember, history is no mystery.
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. You will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.
It costs more than your life to murder an innocent person. It costs everything that you are.